But right now, we're bringing you Matter of Fact. And joining us is Kaylee Clifford, one of our regulars, a researcher at Africa Check. Hi, Kaylee.
Hello.
And then, Mehlo Madala, stranger. Haven't seen you in a while. Kate Wilkinson, acting deputy editor at Africa Check. Hi, Kate.
Hello.
Good to see you again.
It's good to be back. And we're back with five very important claims.
Yes, very important claims that were said by the president. But I just want to start by reminding our listeners that they can do what Dave Jennings did. Mm. So Dave is one of our listeners, and he sent us a fact check assignment, homework. he shared a meme that's kind of doing the rounds about SAA. And so it reads at the top, SAA, the facts, it says, it claims. And it lists a number of issues, does a comparison between Qantas, British Airways and SAA. And it breaks down a number of figures around aircrafts, the number of aircrafts that each airline has, number of employees and employees to aircraft. So he sent it wondering, is there any truth to that, considering the big focus that's on SAA at the moment, as some of the flights and routes start to return for operation. Not all of them yet, because the strike is still, NUMSA and some of the unions are still driving a seriously hard bargain with the airline. We are working on that, and it will be in the, not we, they are working on that, and it will be in the next installment, right?
Yeah, so
we started looking at it today.
We started looking at it. A lot of people have asked us to verify this. I think that when it comes to issues like this, which are so hotly debated, so contentious, and we have such strong opposing sides in the discussion.
Yeah.
When we see facts like this being introduced into a debate, there's a natural suspicion or a wariness, especially when something is presented as the facts,
as it is.
So we are going to try and clarify them. We're going to try and ensure that this debate is based on accurate information. Mm-hmm. And you never know, if we turn around quicker than 2 weeks, we might be back. We could be back before then.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Because I remember we did a similar exercise with Eskom.
Yes.
A couple of months ago when they had their strikes, and there was a lot of information also doing the rounds as viral and otherwise in public discourse. But today, though, we're looking at comments that were made by President Cyril Ramaphosa. And you've looked at some of the claims that he made in a recent address. What's the history? What's the background?
So yeah, so not this weekend we just had, but the one before, President Ramaphosa launched a new report from government, and it is essentially a 25-year review.
Yeah.
So we see these occasionally from the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. And what they do is they say, you know, we started in 1994. Let's take a look at the progress that we've made over those years and really provide a review document.
Yes, and a quarter of a century is
significant.
Yeah, it's a significant time to take a look back. Yeah.
And this was the report that was released. And, you know, in the introduction to the report, it says that it reflects not just on the highlights, but also on what it calls the lowlights of progress over these 25 years. There were a lot of claims made. Yeah. We took them all down and we couldn't check them all, but we looked at five claims that we think touched on some important issues.
Right.
So the five that we're looking at today are about university enrollment, given the debate, the protest action over universities and who gets to go to them in South Africa, health, the economy, inequality, and then service delivery. And in this instance, it's access to electricity.
Right. So five all in all that we'll go through. But we also have his audio. So let's take a listen and get into the first one to see if the president got his facts right.
Total university enrollment has also doubled and now stands at over a million. In 1994, this figure was around 300,000.
So he says it's doubled, stands at about a million, and gives a 1994 figure at about 300,000.
So the claim that we're checking here is specifically the statement that he makes about what enrollment was in 1994. So we're looking at the baseline. But before there, let's check the other figure that he threw out. And that is, he says that currently, enrollment in university is over 1 million. And when we have a look at the data, we see that that actually checks out. If we look at the most recent figures from the Department of Higher Education and Training, we see that in 2017, there were 1,036,984 students enrolled in 26 universities in the country. This data, as you will have noticed, is a bit old. It's 2 years old, but these are audited figures.
Right.
We don't get, you know, you can have a look at maybe Treasury documents for estimates to get a current feel for the current situation, but we refer to use these slightly older figures because we know they're audited, we know they're good. But the president's number there checks out.
Okay.
But let's have a look at the baseline, because baselines are important because they allow us to gauge progress. That's what we're measuring ourselves against. So if we have a look at the report that was actually released by the presidency on that day, we see that the report actually doesn't back what the president said.
Sure.
The president said that total university enrollment was around 300,000 in 1994.
Yeah.
But the report itself says that there were 495,000 students in universities in 1994.
So it's in the report, but it's not what he said.
It's not what he said.
Right.
So the president's figure is actually about 200,000 lower than what the report says.
Because this is closer to 500,000.
That's closer to 500,000. Another estimate we've seen from the Council on Higher Education puts the figure in 1994 at just over 500,000.
Right, because I'm thinking, why would he say doubling if he's talking 300,000 and yet the new figure is over a million? That's more than doubling. So if he's closer, if it's closer to 500,000, then it's doubled.
So that would make sense. So it appears here that, you know, possibly got his numbers wrong, especially with the doubling figure, but it's incorrect to say that enrollment was around 300,000. He would have been correct if he had put it at around 500,000.
Yes, because it then makes us think that, oh, there was this massive, it makes the gains bigger than what they actually were. They're big. There's no doubt about that. I mean, a doubling of anything is something good like this is important and necessary, but let's not overinflate. It overinflates what that change was. So that's what he's guilty of, right?
In this case, yes. And actually, he's got the figure right before. If we look at his first State of the Nation address that he delivered last year in 2018, he put the figure at 500,000 himself.
Oh.
So he might want to check his archives and he can get it right next time.
Sorry, let him get away with it. It's just inconsistent in saying the right figures, but he has shared the right ones before. So it's incorrect based on this recent address, even though the report captures it accurately. Noted. And then the second one, you said it has to do with health.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Access to antiretroviral therapy in the public health sector has grown from 45,500 patients in 2004, to over 4.7 million in 2019.
So what a claim. So access therapy in the public health sector has grown from 45,500 patients in 2004 to over 4.7 million. It's unbelievable.
It is. But I think it's really important. You emphasize the public healthcare sector.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the claim that is being made here. That is an increase of how many people government is providing antiretroviral treatment for. And if we look at the report that government released, we see that this figure is in there, and that the report does it at, put it at 45,500 people. And as a source, it cites a journal article.
Yeah.
And when you go to this journal article, we see that that figure is in there, and it was estimated by looking at statistics from the public healthcare sector. But importantly, it was also estimated, including numbers from both the private healthcare sector and the NGO sector in 1994.
Do we know the split?
We do indeed.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, this is somewhat of a case of history in South Africa being rewritten, because we know that in the early 2000s, there was an enormous amount of pressure on the South African government to provide treatment for HIV and AIDS. And really, the crux of that push in the early 2000s was primarily to provide a mother-to-child prevention program.
Mm-hmm.
And government resisted this and was actually forced to do so by the Constitutional Court in 2002, with then in 2004 them rolling out a national ARV program.
Right.
So when we look at 2004, we don't actually see that government was providing 45,500 people with ART treatment.
How many were they providing for?
In fact, government was only providing 9,600 people with ARV treatment that year. And that was 20% of all people in the country who were provided with treatment. If we look at a further breakdown, we see that the private sector was in fact providing the bulk of the treatment that year with just over 34,000 people. And NGO programs were picking up the balance with just under 4,000 people. So it's incorrect for the president to claim all of those people as being recipients of treatment from the state.
Yes.
In fact, just 20% of them were receiving treatment from the public healthcare sector.
Then, even though now we can, the new figure of 4.7 million, did you take a look at
we
that?
We did.
Its
so if you look at the numbers from 2004, you know, quite quickly afterwards, we saw the public healthcare sector take up the bulk of treatment. There was a very quick increase after that year.
Yeah.
And when we look at the most recent figures, we do see that the numbers are in line with what the president said. As of March this year in 2019, we see that there were 4.7 million people on antiretroviral treatment from the state in South Africa. And that is, and we fact-checked it before, the largest ARV program in the world.
Yes. Oh, so we can say in the world.
Because
there's another one that's coming up. We're in the world.
Is the important bit.
Okay, so important to note there, either way, this is an unbelievable provision. It is the biggest program, as Kate has just said. So whether he was working from the 9,000 odd provision of ARVs in the private sector, or public sector rather, or the 45,000 provision, mostly private sector, it is still a huge growth in this program, and government has done quite a lot to make sure that it's able to cater for these ever increasing numbers. Well, let's take a break. So far, two incorrect claims. The detail matters. It really does matter. When we come back, we'll look at the rest of the claims made by the president in his address on the 8th of November at the University of Mpumalanga.
702 for the curious on 92.7 and 106 FM.
And we're back with Kaylee Clifford as well as Kate Wilkinson as we bring you Matter of Fact. And this time around, under scrutiny is President Cyril Ramaphosa's address, where he was giving a report back on how South Africa has progressed in the past 25 years since the dawn of democracy. So far, two incorrect claims. The details were, it's down to the details, but overall, yes, the sentiment and the progress that's been made is there. It's evident. But the base that we were moving from was incorrect, as stated there. Kaylee, tell us about the third claim, and it has to do with the economy.
Yes, so here we have a claim where Ramaphosa is saying that the size of the South African economy has doubled.
Let's listen to that, yeah.
We have doubled the size of this economy.
Doubled.
Yeah, so here he's commenting on the importance of human resources and talent in South Africa. And he says that, yes, the size of the country's economy has doubled over the past 25 years. So how do we measure the size of an economy? We look at the GDP, right? This is the value of all goods and services that are produced in a country in a given period, but it's usually a year.
Yeah.
And there are two ways that you can measure GDP. So you can look at current or nominal rates, but this takes into account inflation over the years. So it can sometimes lead to distorted figures.
Right.
It's really important to separate economic growth from inflation by looking at real or constant GDP rates. So when we look at World Bank data based on constant or real GDP, where we remove the effect of inflation, we see that actually South Africa's economy did grow 1.9 times from $225 billion in 1994 to $429 billion in 2018.
Yes.
So based on this data, we've rated the claim as correct. And we're actually quite chuffed that they are calculating the GDP using real or constant rates, because there were a few occasions last year and in the beginning of this year where they were calculating it using current or nominal rates, including the effect of inflation, and claiming that the economy had grown three times since 1994, which of course sounds impressive, but it is a bit misleading.
It is. And I know that with the kind of unemployment rates that we have, it would have been great for this to be a tripling or a quadrupling, whatever, of the size of the economy, because double just doesn't provide, doesn't do enough for the demands that are placed on our economy. Yes, it sounds impressive, but we know the reality.
Yeah.
So at least they use the right figures. So this one gets a correct, yes. Mr. President. And then the fourth one, let's take a listen to what the president claimed.
South Africa remains the most unequal society in the world.
There's that in the world.
So
inequality.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of talk around this claim, and this statement comes from a World Bank report that was released in 2018, naming South Africa as the most unequal country in the world. And I'm sure listeners will recall the now infamous Al Jazeera interview with Baleka Mbete, where she challenges this finding from the World Bank, and she says, well, can be said by the World Bank, but the World Bank is not God. So when that interview came out, we actually did a longer kind of analysis piece on this claim, and then we've condensed it here in this report.
Okay.
So essentially, we're looking at inequality, which is commonly measured with a Gini coefficient. What the Gini coefficient does is it provides a figure between 1, which is perfect inequality, and 0, which is perfect equality. So essentially, the closer you are to 1, the worse the inequality in that country is.
Yes, and the closer to 0, the greater the equality.
The better it is, yeah. So we look at the World Bank. Their report in 2018 said that South Africa had a Gini coefficient of 0.63 in 2015.
I saw a figure on the weekend that said this has come down, that it was 0.67, and that, you know, since 2015 or something like that, the Stats SA report, because they were looking at levels of inequality in South Africa, it is just such a heartbreak. But nonetheless, they said that it was at 0.67 a few years ago, and now it's what, at 0.63?
Yeah, so that's the other thing, is that these figures are from 2015, and there are also a number of different ways to measure GDP using different data sets. When the World Bank did it, their result was 0.63 in 2015, and then when Stats SA did it, the same year, their result was 0.64. So
yeah,
it's kind of the same there. But when we spoke to a senior economist from the World Bank, they said that from their side, no other country in their database had that level of Gini coefficient.
So based on that database, we are the most unequal country.
So that was the World Bank's reasoning. But here's the thing. The database only consists of 164 countries.
Right.
And several experts that we spoke to said that the data that you need to measure inequality for a number of other countries is not actually available. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at places like Kuwait, Qatar, Saudi Arabia. And these are countries that are known to have quite high inequality levels.
Yeah.
So we actually rated the claim as unproven because we don't have the data available for all the countries in the world. But it would be correct to say that South Africa is the most unequal country in the world for which data exists.
Yes, yeah. Yes. That's such a hot topic at the moment, inequality, especially from that Stats SA report. My goodness, they say inequality has worsened within the black population. It's largely stayed the same in the coloured, Indian and white populations, and that it's still, and then overall, of course, it's still widening, which is just such a concern. But it was an alarming report over the weekend about salaries and who's earning what and how much and so on. Mm. And black women still at the bottom. Anyway, we'll get time to unpack that on the show, because I thought it's an important report to talk about. And then the fourth one about electricity. And before we listen to the president, there is a WhatsApp that came in and it says access to electricity has improved. That I can say, in fact, because when I would visit my grandmother in Mpandle, it would be black at night. Now the mountains look like Christmas trees. And this is like back in the early 90s. Thank you for sharing that. But let's hear what the president claimed.
And 84% of all households in our country have electricity.
84%.
Mm.
Okay.
So this one is pretty straightforward. Stats SA collects data on this every year. And in 2018, they said that 84.7% of households were connected to the main electricity supply. Mm-hmm. So that's 2018, and it's up a bit from 2017. So that was about 84.4% then.
And if we want to go all the way back...
Just press that... Yeah.
We want to go all the way back to the beginning and look, you know, over these 25 years and see how access to electricity has increased, we can do that. We have to remember that often data from the early 90s is a bit sketchy in South Africa, because not everyone was being measured, and not those that were measured weren't always measured to the same quality.
Yeah.
But we have a few data sources. In 1993, 1994, we have a survey that was conducted by the World Bank, and it put access to electricity at around 54%. You know, if we jump a bit forward to the first census that was conducted in South Africa in 1996, mm-hmm. we see there that access to electricity was 58%. So over this period, we have seen, you know, around a 30 percentage point increase in access when it comes to electricity mm-hmm. and households being able to access that.
So this one he got correct.
He did.
On the head.
He did indeed. And if anyone else listened to the speech and they think there's one in particular that we didn't check mm-hmm. that needs, you know, some attention, they can tweet you, they can tweet us, they can email us. And, you know, if we have the time, we can yes. see what
I actually wish there. A big deal had been made about this report. Because
yeah, it was on a Saturday. It was released. Yeah. And yeah.
Because it's important. It's 25 years. We need to be able to have perspective, because so often when we get engaged in public discourse, we could stay in the mud and just look at what hasn't worked. And yes, this has the low lights as well, because we shouldn't just have sunshine news a la Saudi Mutsuning. But we should also be honest in our reflection on what's happened in the country. Mm. And one thing that stands out for me is I'm proud of the fact that our data and our collection has improved. You just mentioned the 90s and the fact that not everybody's progress, everybody's lives were being looked at. And now the kind of data that South Africa has is good.
It is. And we do have trouble sometimes with access to information, and sometimes the quality can, you know, be a bit amiss. But we work across the continent, and when it comes to accessing information mm-hmm. and good data, we are incredibly lucky. And it means that we can do our work in helping people figure out what's right, what's wrong, and where the truth lies.
Yes, and policymakers and everybody who can make a difference is working with a realistic, or what is a reflection of society, as close as possible. You guys are amazing. Everybody at the office, not just the two.
We'll pass on the compliment.
Yes. Thank you. That was Kaylee Clifford, researcher at Africa Check, and then the acting deputy editor at Africa Check, Kate Wilkinson. They'll be back, not next week Monday, the following Monday. So we do it every second Monday.